Today we're going to continue in our study in the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. I like the story of Joshua because I really relate to him because I did this research. And Joshua is the guy that God chose to lead God's people, Israel, actually out of a season when they were wandering in a wilderness into this land that God had promised them for centuries. It was theirs to inherit, but they had never gotten. Now they're on the cusp. They're just about to go in, and Joshua is the guy that is going to lead God's people into this incredible promise. Guess how old he was? 60. Joshua was 60 when he led the people of Israel into the promised land. And today we're going to look at his story. And I want to actually go back to our map. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. We're celebrating. By the way, after church today, we're going to have what kind of food? We're going to have a barbecue.
Yeah.
Burgers and bratwurst.
Watermelon.
And a water baptism. Yeah. You want to stay after church today. It's going to be a blast. We have fun at the City Church. Here's our map. We've been looking at this for months now. We've been tracking with God's people. He told them, I'm going to give you this land of abundance and blessing. It's called the Promised Land. It's literally some real estate. But yet, as the time had gone by, they weren't in the Promised Land. They were in Egypt, and they were in bondage. They were slaves. They had been there for centuries. And God heard their cry, and he sent them a deliverer named Moses. Everybody say Moses. Moses comes into town, and he does his miracles with God's help, and the people are set free, and they cross the Red Sea, and they're tracking, and they're journeying, and all through this journey, God's teaching them lessons. They got them out of Egypt, but they still had a lot of Egypt thinking in them. They were thinking a slave mentality and bondage and difficulty. So God takes them on this journey and stops at different places, and if you read the story, it's fascinating how God is getting inside their heart and getting inside their thinking and getting inside their talking to see how they need to change their life so that, here's the point, so that when they get to the Promised Land, they're so internally changed and doing right, they can live there successfully. Because God can give you a promise, but I want to know how to keep the promise. I want to live successfully in the promises that God has for me. So he's teaching them. And they finally, after 2 years, they leave here. And 2 years later, all these little journeys, you can read it and go back and get the message. They land at a place called Kadesh. And God tells them to send out some spies to go out and check out the land. And so for 40 days, they roam around checking out this promised place. And they come back with a report. And there's 12. 10 of the guys who saw the land came back and said, yeah, it's really great. It's beautiful. It's a prosperous thing. It's really cool. But, they had a big but. But, that's supposed to be funny. But, there's walled cities. There's giants. It really looks impossible. We can't do it. So there were 10 spies. 10 had a bad report, negative report. 2 of those spies had a good report. And they said, we can do this. Let's go in. Everything in the study around Kadesh seems to indicate this was the place, since the spies went out, this was the place, this was to be the portal, this was to be the entry, this was to be the gateway. Here, at this point, only after 2 years, they were supposed to go into and take possession of the Promised Land. But the 10 guys with a negative report, they spoke so boldly, the people of Israel got so discouraged, they wept all night, and they started complaining, and God says, I'm done. You've been complaining the whole way. I really love you guys. But here's what's going to happen. For every day that you spied, 40 days of spying, for each one of those days, because you rejected me and you complained, you're rebelling against me, I'm going to have you not go to the Promised Land. I'm going to have you wander 1 year for each day. So for 40 years, you're going to wander around and never possess the promise. Now, while you're wandering, I'll take care of you. Your shoes won't wear out. I'll give you miracle food every day. I'll be with you, and I'll protect you. But you will not see the Promised Land. So that pronouncement came on them. So the 40 years goes by, and they wandered. And all in this area, we don't know exactly where, but there are unmarked graves. Hundreds of thousands of people died. He said, you will wander for 40 years until every adult who's 20 years old and above dies because you rejected me. Wow. So the wilderness wandering goes by 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40 years, and that entire generation died except for Joshua and Caleb, the two guys who said, we can do it. Are you tracking with me? Okay, so the 40 years goes by. All the people died, including their leader, Moses. He dies. And now we have a new generation. We have a new leader, Joshua. And we have a brand new opportunity, a second chance. First chance was Kadesh. Second chance, now they're positioned, and they're right on the edge of the Jordan River. If they cross that river, they're into and starting to take possession of the promised land. So as we finish the journey, if we pick up the narrative today, they are camped right here on the side of the Jordan. They wandered around, and they're waiting, but they're not in yet. Let's pick up the story now in Joshua chapter 1. If you're with me, say, I got it. Joshua 1, and it says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide or Moses' assistant. Here's the word. Moses is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready. Everybody say, get ready. Get ready. Turn to your neighbor, look them in the eye and say, get ready.
Get ready.
Yeah, get ready. He's get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land. Everybody say land. Into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. This is important. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Those are the opening words of this new era. And if you look into the heart of the beginning, if you dig a little deep, here's what God is saying to Joshua, and Joshua needs to communicate to the people. God has great things ahead for you. Now, they needed to hear that because their mentality, their lifestyle, their entire culture as a nation was built on wandering. They had their needs met. They had food every day. And God was there, but they were not living in the best that God had for them. Joshua, if you read between the lines, he's saying, hey, get ready to cross over the land, the whole land thing. We're about to get ready. Come on. As I was with Moses, no one will stand above you. I'm going to take care of you. Get ready. What's going on? Because God has some really great things in store for you. I take that personal. If Joshua was 60 when he's saying that, I feel like God's saying it to me. I really do. Can I just indulge? Thank you. I just feel like he's saying it to me. And I feel like he's saying this to the city church. We've never been in a study this long in the history of our church. We've been studying the same story for 5.5 months. And we're still not in the promised land. But honestly, I just feel it shaping us. And I feel God digging deeper and working in our heart and our mind and our thinking and our confession. And today, I hear God in my spirit wanting to make sure we catch this. In these first verses, I'm just catching. Now listen. He said, I've got great things for you. It's bigger than you could ever imagine. In fact, God's plans for you are so much greater than you can ever dream. That went right over your head. You don't believe me. I'm going to say it again. God's plans for you are so much greater than you can even conceive of. Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask, think, or even imagine what he can. And I've got a really grandiose imagination. He's bigger. I want to prove it to you. I want to prove it to you really specifically in this journey. In the journey, he gives them a description of the boundaries of what he promised them. It's in verse 4. And can you go ahead and bring the map up? In verse 4, he says, your territory would extend from the desert to Lebanon, the great river Euphrates. He starts giving boundary, real estate language. You'll find that same description in Genesis when God spoke initially to Abraham. You'll find it when God spoke to Moses in Exodus and also in Deuteronomy. He uses the same type of language to describe the four borders of where they were supposed to take territory. I want to show you what they did. If you could see this map up above, The large white line is actually theologians, map folks, I mean, the greatest determination of what God was saying, I'm going to give this to you. That was the territory within the white line. It included what we would call Egypt, Saudi Arabia, part of Iraq, Syria, Jordan, etc. The part they actually took in their conquest was the red piece. Meaning that, wow, look what he gave us. Look what he wanted to give you. And we're human. We get locked down because Tammy got mad at me and it's not working. Jesse gave me a cat for my birthday. I don't like cats. I mean, it's really hard as a dad to be excited about a gift when your son gives you something you don't want. He knows you don't. He's working you. And other people are watching. Oh, that's wonderful. Get rid of that cat. What are you doing? Sorry, if you love cats, man, go for it. Love cats. You can have one. We got one for you. You can change his name. Jesse calls him John Wayne because I like John Wayne. You can call him Gizmo if you want to. Just take him. Why am I saying that? I don't remember now. I lost my point.
God,
preach it, Gabby. God wants to give you more, and we get limited. You know, a spouse is upset with us and a little set back financially, and someone got mad at us at work, and someone spoke a rumor about us, and these are real things, and they're painful, but is that really going to define our life? When God has spoken such large things, far beyond what you've experienced so far, and far beyond what you even think it's going to look like. You're still not getting it. You're still not getting it. It's going, like, what's he going to say next? Just stop. Let's just pause. I'm not moving anymore until I know you got it. It's more. It's greater. Some of you are stuck. In fact, the thing you relate to most is the wandering thing. Going in circles. In fact, what is the promised land? What it meant to them was geography, real estate. It meant to them the prestige of being a real nation and saying, this is ours. It meant to them authority. It meant opportunity. It meant prosperity. It meant ownership. It was precious and powerful. It was real that God would give them that. What's the promised land for you? This is not a little history lesson. When we come to church and we're speaking truth, it's God by His Spirit wanting to get inside of our heart and our life and our mind and change our thinking. He was trying to change their thinking the whole journey. It was their wrong thinking that kept the whole generation out. Now we've got a new generation. Will they think correctly? Will they receive the challenge? Will they walk into the promise? What's the promised land for you? Is it a great marriage? Is it a business that's really prospering? Is it raising champion kids that are going to serve God all the days of their life? Promised land is you obtaining the greatest of God that He has for you. The ultimate destiny God has. He's already dreamed about you. He loves you. He's excited about you. In the midst of your pain, your failures, your hurt, whatever, God's saying today, He's speaking right now. Can you hear it? It's greater than anything you could imagine or compare it to. Do we have it yet? If you got it, say, I got it. Right. You better be telling the truth. Okay, so God's intention was so much greater than what they could ever believe. And so God's saying to them and to us real clearly, I've got great things for you. Then He gets their attention. Let's look at this verse. I want you to see this. He wants them to get prepared. This is in chapter 1 and verse 2. He tells them very important words because He's wanting to move them towards great things. They're not there yet. They're on the edge of it. Look at the language. Look at the words. He says, get ready. Touch your neighbor and say, get ready. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give you. In fact, can you bring up the other version? The first part of that verse is important to see there. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then he says, Now, get ready to cross. Moses is dead. Now then, get ready to cross. Moses is dead, past. Now then, present. Get ready to cross. We know Moses is dead. Why are you saying that? Because it's important to make the transition. See, this is a generation. If you remember now, everyone 20 years old and older, they're dead. So that means anyone who was 19 or younger is still alive. So they knew the journey. They were at Kadesh when there was opportunity. They saw the miracles, but yet they've been following Moses and wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they're getting older. In fact, new children have been born. Now there's a whole new generation, new opportunity, and some of the first words were, hey, Moses is dead. We're not wanderers anymore. You need to make the shift. You need to get on board. We're transitioning. Our culture will not be identified by wandering anymore. We're owners. And it was important because you don't hear any complaining anymore. You will not find complaining in the new generation here, which their fathers complain constantly. So the complaining's over, but they're wanderers. And they don't know what to expect. So he's saying, hey, let me catch your attention now. Make the shift. Some of you, you were born in wandering. That's all you know. And so, you know, it's cool. Wandering's cool. Every day you got a meal. There's food. We go from place to place and go to your next door neighbors and get in their tent and have coffee. I mean, they got their lifestyle, but that did not define greatness. And come on, Moses and that era is over. We have a new leader, a new generation, a fresh opportunity. It's the second chance. You were there as a child when your parents said no. You're an adult. Will you say yes? Someone else saying no forced a lifestyle on you that you never asked for. You became a wanderer because you had to. You didn't choose it. Now God's saying there's a second chance. We're at the Jordan. We're about ready to cross over. But Moses is dead. Let go of a mentality that's so limited and so confining. It's time to change. You hear it?
Yeah.
We got to change, folks. City Church has got to change. Remember, the kingdom of God is all about change. We got to always be willing to change. Change our mind, change our attitude, change our words. We're flexible, we're humble, we're teachable. We want to follow God. And if it means change, yes, sir. What do you want us to do? Someone touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to change. They had to change from the negative attitude to a positive attitude. From wandering, they had to change to a conquering attitude. They changed from complaining to speaking faith. Changed from disobedience to obedience. There had to be a shift. Those words meant that to them. Moses gone. Now, we're going to cross over. Make the change. Make the change. Make the change. So we got it. We say, okay, God's got great things for us. And God's telling us to cross over. But there's something very important we have to do to get ready to cross. Get ready to cross. Part of that shift is shifting from a wanderer, hang on now, to a fighter. Come on. Whoa. What are you talking about? We just kind of take it easy. We chill. We're wanderers, man. Well, that won't work. The moment you step out of Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, five books, Moses wrote them. The last book, Deuteronomy, it's the last words of Moses, end of an era, end of a generation. And all he does in Deuteronomy is keep reminding them of what they did wrong and what God wants to do in their lives. He just keeps reminding them. It's a book of remembrance. Bam, that ends. The moment you step into Joshua, you're getting a war strategy. In fact, look at the language. This verse is really important. You got to catch this. This is verse 11. It says, go through the camp and tell the people, get ready again. Second time, get ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan right here to go in, key words here, and take possession of this promised place, this land the Lord your God is giving you. Well, wait a minute. Is he going to give it to me or am I going to take it? Which one is it? It's both. It's both. God promises us so many incredible things, but we have to take them. He's shifting them from a wanderer to a conqueror. I'm going to give you this land. In fact, this word possession in the Hebrew language, it actually can be translated inheritance. This is your inheritance. Well, inheritance, I thought I just wait until the attorney reads me what I get and I go spend the money. Well, inheritance in this concept is this is yours, you must go now possess it. In fact, the deeper meaning of this means to conquer. It means to dispossess a current tenant and to occupy in their place. It means serve eviction notice. God is saying, all that large territory, I am giving it to you. No man, I own the whole thing. The earth is mine. I'm giving it to you. But I want you to go and displace the people that are there, and I'm giving it to you. For us, we've got to displace. We've got to remove negativity. We've got to take out of us bitterness. We've got to get rid of inner struggles and addictions, and we got to get rid of anger. We got to get rid of bad relationships. We got to get rid of wrong thinking. We just got to get displace things out of us and get ourselves filled with God so we can go in and possess all the great things that he has for us. Fighting, conquering. Some of us like that and some of us don't, but it doesn't matter. We have to do it anyway. You step into the book of Joshua and you're stepping into warfare. Now, if not swords and shields, if not bows and arrows. In fact, in the first part of Joshua, you hear nothing about military warfare and, target shooting and practicing. Get ready, we're going to cross over, man. Somebody get out the spears. No. What about bow and arrow? No. We're going to get ready by getting our mind changed and shifting from a wanderer to a conqueror. Some of you need to shift right now. Right now, today, you need to just decide, I'm stepping out of wandering and negativity that's holding me back, and I'm changing my mind, I'm going to become a conqueror. Yeah. I'm going to fight for what belongs to me. I'm a fighter. Some of us aren't fighters by nature, and that's okay. You can fight whatever way you can. What does it look like to be a conqueror? For some people, they get indignant. They're ready to fight. Others are like, what is fighting? Fighting is just saying yes to God. Fighting is praying. Fighting is being faithful to church and joining a group and getting into community with people and giving tithe. Just the simplicity of Christianity is fighting and not giving up and saying, if I keep doing these things, what do you say, Gabby? If I just keep doing the right thing, I'll get the great results. Just keep fighting and conquering, and don't give up. Don't give in. Keep pushing forward. Come on, Carlos. You're going to have that breakthrough in that business. We've prayed 1,000 times. Keep moving forward. You're going to have the breakthroughs in Mexico. You're going to be a super wealthy man, and I really know that. And you're going to be one of the most generous men in Mexico. You already are. It's going to happen. The breakthrough is coming. For Grant and Cheryl, I'm so burdened for you. You're in a transition time. And the Lord says, be strong and courageous. You're going to hear. God hasn't changed his mind. He didn't change his mind. Israel went through hell, but he never changed. He still says, the promise I stand by. The promise he spoke to you years ago, he stands by it. You're still going to fulfill it. Different route, different directions, you're going to fulfill your destiny. Libby, I just love you so much, you and Julianne. Those of you who don't know, Libby Lohman and her husband Jack, when we first started our church, they were out of town elders in our church. They lived in Portland, but they helped us make the decisions and solve problems and give strategic direction to our church. Jack passed away 4 years ago? 2 years ago. 2 years ago? 2 years ago. Jack was my lifelong best friend for 35 years. And he's gone now. And, when you lose someone like that, it shakes your life. I know that has for Libby and Julie. It's her first time to be back here since he passed. He used to come here every year and fix the church. Fix me first. They fix Tammy more. But I'm just saying that, I just thought about it last night when I saw you, Libby. You're such an incredible woman. And there's so many people that have already been impacted in your life, but the best is yet to come. And you're such a fighter. You do it in such a sweet Irish way. But you are a fighter. And I commend you for that today. And honestly, I feel some new doors are going to open for you within the next 6 months to a year. And that fighting spirit will take you to new places. You're going to influence a lot of people. I just feel that prophetic spirit over the whole church right now. God wants to point to each of you and say, where are you? It's time to believe for something greater. See, here's the thing. Whenever we decide to be a conqueror, whenever we say, yes, I'm a Joshua generation guy. I want to cross over that Jordan. Man, I want to go take the promised land. I want everything I can get from God. The moment you say that, there'll be opposition. Every time. But every place where there's opposition, there will be opportunity. If there's great opposition, it always means great opportunity. In my life, when I have felt the most frustrated and the most agitated and the most, everything, I've learned, it took me 60 years, but I finally got part of this figured out. When that happens, it just means something great's about to happen. Where there's demonic, devilish, weird opposition, it means God's about to do something way beyond what I could do. You better get ready. Yeah. You know, you decide, you hear these kind of messages and it kind of gets in your heart a little bit. You think, you know what, I know what I'm going to fight for. I'm going to fight for my marriage. I'm going to fight. And the moment you say that, this enemy comes. Yep. And tried to block you, hinder you. I'm going to fight for my business and believe for more money. Opposition. Everything will go wrong. Seen that before? You start declaring what you're going to do, and all of a sudden weird things happen. Yeah. That's how it works. Wow. But you push through because you're a conqueror. You're part of this Joshua generation. We push through our enemies. But let's go a little further. I've only got 2 more hours to speak. So how did Joshua tell them to fight? Remember, the first chapter sets up for the rest of the book. Everything that has happened in the Bible from Genesis up to this point is pointing to this point. Cross over. Become God's special people. Have the land. And as you get there, you'll be an example to the whole world. All the world will be blessed through you. I mean, this is a pretty big focal moment. So these first few verses are really, really important. So he says, I want you to get ready to cross over, and I want you to take possession, get a shift from a wanderer to a conqueror. Come on, there's great things ahead for you. How am I going to do that? Two really, really, really simple things he says in the first chapter. Number one, be courageous. Everybody say, be courageous. Be courageous. Say it louder like you're courageous. Courageous. Yeah, let's read it. This is incredible. Three clear times he says it to Joshua. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, hey, didn't I command you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Why is he talking so much about courage? Because he's picking up where he left off. The first generation at Kadesh, remember? They had the opportunity. They were at their portal, their gateway, their entrance to the promised land. They were fearful. They lacked courage, and they began to complain. So God's smart. He just picks up where he left off. Hey, by the way, be courageous. Be very courageous. Hey, didn't I command you to be courageous? Okay, we got it. We need to have courage because there's going to be enemies. There's going to be problems. There's going to be opposition standing in the way of what you're believing for. Be strong. And courageous. I will. How? He gives him a simple answer. Really simple. You like simple?
Yes.
Simple. He says, I want you to be courageous, and here's how you do it. You just stay in the Bible. What? Don't you want us to get a sword? How about we get a spear? Every man has a spear. No. Stay in the Bible. What do you mean by that? Well, he tells us in the verses there, in verse 7 and 8, let me read it to you. He says, be strong and courageous. Be careful. Everybody say, be careful. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or turn from it to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go in this land. Verse 8, really famous. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, what am I going in and conquering? Then you will be prosperous and successful. Anybody here want to be prosperous and successful? And God is telling you, I have great things in store for you. There's going to be a little warfare to get there. And the key for you is be filled with courage. And the key to being filled with courage is what you focus on. You know, get your binoculars out. Well, we're focusing on Jericho. We can see that city. It's got some big walls. We're focusing on river. The river's flooded. How are we going to cross? Wow. We're focusing on Joshua. Hope he can do this. No, he's saying what you focus on, not just the leader. He's telling everybody, focus on truth. Focus on the Bible. See, if opposition comes and stands in your way to block you from the best God has for your marriage, the greatest ministry fulfillment you've ever had, prosperity that's abounding, if you're believing for that and the enemy stands, the enemy's trying to get you to turn to the left or to the right, to get you off track so you have nothing to stand on. But if you just resiliently, with determination, say, no, the Bible says. What did Jesus do? He's just about to enter into his purpose on earth. He's about to unfold his supernatural destiny to change all of humanity for eternity. And he's in a temptation time when the devil comes and starts to tempt him. And what does Jesus say? Well, no. No, you're getting in my way. It's written. Second time, the devil comes with another thing and gets in Jesus' way. He said, no, the Bible says. And then the devil comes a third time, three times, and tries to get in his way again. And Jesus says, hey, Satan, get out of here. The Bible says. And then it says this, the devil left him. We don't want to leave. We want the enemy to leave. We're moving forward. We're crossing over. I'm going to close with a story. It was a few years ago. I was in Mexico at a pastor's conference. And I was one of the speakers. And the host, the coordinator of the conference, was introducing me to some of the other speakers. One was this very stately, distinguished gentleman. And he was short in stature, but he just looked the part. He was a pastor. He didn't speak English, and I don't speak Spanish, so we had an interpreter. And I'm asking him questions. And he lived and pastored in a deep southern part of Mexico in a very impoverished area. And I said, well, tell me about your life. You know, what's happening in your area? How's the church? He says, well, I have a church, a facility that seats thousands. We have 5,000 people in our church. I said, oh, wow. That's great. How'd you do that? Not $1 from the United States. Wow. And we have 100 churches we planted. And he says it boasting in God. It wasn't cocky. It was just, it seemed so holy. I was, wow. I said, well, okay, how'd you do that? And the translator asked, and he says, Joshua 1:8. I said, no, what I asked him was, I asked him how he did that. So the guy asked again, and the pastor says, Joshua 1:8. I said, I don't get it. He says, we knew we couldn't do it in our own strength. Too many enemies, not enough money, poverty, no one to help us. What are we going to do? So we took the Bible, we ripped it up into pieces, and we gave pages to everybody in our small beginning church. And we would trade pages, and we rewrote the Bible like 50, 60 times, every single word. Just writing it. And we get together and talk, but we're just writing the word. And he says, and all of a sudden, it just got so much in us. He said, we became a Joshua 1:8 people. Everything we did was successful and prospered. I thought, I'm going to go home and read my Bible. Wow. See, the enemy wants to make it so complicated, and God wants to make it simple. God has great things ahead for you. God has great things. He has great things. And honestly, it really is greater than what you think. It really is. What do I see? For my life, I see many grandchildren. I see Tammy and I being alive and happy. And by the way, Joshua was 60 when he went, and he lived 50 more years. For my life, I see great things ahead. I see energy. I see accomplishments. I see God using us more in the years ahead than he has so far. For our church, I see new buildings. I see more churches in Mexico. I see more influence in our city politically, socially, giving more money away, having influence in our region, becoming a known entity, representing Jesus in a strong and powerful way. I see so many great things coming, and they're just across the Jordan. They're just beyond where we are. They're right around the corner, and we're going to cross over. We're going to face every obstacle, every foe. We're going to be a crossover people, a Joshua generation, people who say, yes, we're well able. We're going to be strong and courageous, and we're going to stay focused on truth. No matter what comes, we're going to accomplish the perfect will of God for our lives as a church. If you believe that, say a big amen.